As we begin our banner parade, please join in singing Rank by Rank. But stay seated so you can see all the banners as they come in and cheer, and we'll sing the best we can, okay?
For hymn number one, which is May Nothing Evil Cross This Door.
Thank you. Come into this place. Come into this house of worship, this shelter for the weary, this retreat for the spirit, this cradle for the innocent, this stronghold for the faith we have in the human project. This is where we lift up and affirm all of our best intentions and celebrate that which we find most important, the covenant that connects each to all as we love and revere the world we create together during this magical week when we gather in this magical place, this place.
Friends, new and old, we have come together from all directions to be together this week. Look around this sanctuary. Really, look around and see our community gathered for the purpose of fellowship, learning, laughing, playing, singing, all things that we cherish. Let us take a deep breath together. And another. And another. Welcome, one and all, to our time of worship.
I'm Scott Pifo, the chair of the Summer Institute Planning Committee, and on behalf of my committee, welcome to Ohio Meadville Summer Institute 2015! So usually what I am doing and what through the week I will be doing from the pulpit is to stand in front of you all at the end of the service when you are invigorated, ecstatic, elated by what you've heard and read announcements. It's kind of a thankless job. It's not about SI magic. And by the way, I am going to be doing that at the end of this service too. So stay in your seats because announcements following the service. Can't wait. But tonight is my night to talk about SI magic. I want to be frank with you that in this planning year, through everything we went through everything that my family has gone through, the planning year has been sufficiently busy and fraught that over the course of the year, I did not feel the magic. It was not a magic time. And I had to write chair letters to you all for the website about the magic. I did not feel the magic. I spent most of this afternoon in registration, just there to troubleshoot. That was kind of what I was doing. And I saw people that, and I haven't even been coming that long, this is my sixth SI. I saw people I've known those years. I saw a former member of my church I haven't seen in 10 years. I felt the magic. So I remembered the magic. So that made me think that what I want to do from the, you know, my little magic time tonight is just tell you my first SI magic story. Because like I said, it's 6 years ago, I still remember it. So those of you who are first timers, I had a hard first year. So if you're having a hard first year, just know that in 6 years, you'll be the chair of the whole thing. So I had a hard first year. I wrote about the hard first year. It's, you know, the moth thing. If you were around then, the moth thing, I wrote about that. But I remember in that hard first year, and it's just like I'm just not somebody who connects well with people. And at that time, I didn't play a stringed instrument, which you'll find is a real barrier at SI. But I kind of went through the week, and then there's this point like on Thursday or Friday, and it was just, and we were at Kenyon at the time, and I just passed somebody who was an SIer, had the paraphernalia and stuff, on Middle Path for the umpteenth time, and I realized when I pass people that I know are part of this community, it is different than when I pass somebody on the street at home. And it's because I know what's in my head. And I know that lots of people that I pass on the street would not be okay with what's in my head. And I know that you all are. I know for you guys, I could tell you what's in my head, and you're not going to call me a communist or a sissy or a weirdo. You're going to say, that's okay. Or maybe even, yeah, me too. That's what it is to me, is the people here, yes, there's a lot of similarities in our views, but it's also an attitude of openness and accepting that we have here that is not out there. And that's what SI Magic is to me. And I realized that there's this little tickle in the back of my head all the time when I'm out there passing people who I know, or at least I know there is a good chance, would not accept what's in my head. There's this little tickle telling me that those people out there wouldn't be okay with everything that you are. And I know that when I come here for this week, that little tickle is gone. And it's a little tickle I don't even know exists until I come here and it's gone. So even if you're having a hard first year, try to notice the little tickle that isn't there, because that's what this is about. A big part of SI Magic is the people that work so, so very hard to make it happen. And through the week, I am going to take time from my scintillating announcements to thank specific people and specific groups of people. I have been privileged to be the first among equals on the SI Planning Committee, and our job is not really to do things as much as it is to find people to do things and help them do those things, and then be around when they come to us and say, a bad thing happened and I can't do the thing, and then we find out what to do to fix the thing so that they can do the thing. And the people that worked the hardest today to do their thing was our registration team. Amy Kent, Kim Murphy, Geneva Pullen, and Jillian Haker. Yeah, up, up, up. No one, and I count myself in that number, no one works harder than that team to get you guys through the line, get your rooms, get your assignments, get all the things, and every year it seems to run smoother than the last. It's miraculous to me that it works. The other group I want to acknowledge is my committee, but I want to both acknowledge them and spotlight them. Because they're the people that you are your first line of defense if you have a thing that's keeping you from doing the thing. you can spot my people because they will be carrying these lovely, I actually really like the Canvas Messenger bag. I'm looking forward to having mine on campus next year without my, you know, gaffer tape. So they will have brown messenger bags decorated by themselves with gaffer tape, and I'm going to have them stand. First and foremost, Liz Bright, my partner in this, in all this. Yeah, she is. She is my co-chair. She will be assuming the chair next year, and this literally couldn't have happened without her because she was the one that was constantly telling me, Scott, this thing that you should have done 2 weeks ago, how about you do it now? The rest of my committee, Carol Dobbins, Melissa Jeter, who's over here in Gina Phillips, Amber Scott, Kristen Thomas, Lois Weir, and Ann Wilson. These are the people who helped me get this whole ball rolling and get things happening. Like I said, mostly I was watching amazing people do amazing things and occasionally saying, try that. And so it's been quite an experience for me. You will be hearing me from me again in the future. Enjoy the rest of this opening ceremony. Have a great week.
So enough sitting and listening to people talk. We like to sing our next hymn, which is The Earth, the Fire, the Water, the Air. Who knows this already? Really? Okay, Michelle, come help me. We're gonna have to teach it to you since I thought you all know this one. So, can you play through it once? That's all the words. So it's pretty easy.
Turn, return, the earth, the water, the fire, the air, return.
And by the end of the week, you're going to know it by heart because we're doing it every night. So, tonight, I'd like us to do it three times in pairs, so don't panic. So this group could go first, and this group will join in second. It's a nice round. We'll do it three times and stop. Okay? Okay, great. One, two, three.
The earth, the water, the fire, the air, return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the earth, the water, the fire, the air, return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire, the air, return, 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 return. The earth, the water, the fire.
Once upon a time, in a desert land by a faraway sea, there was a teacher named Yeshua. He was an ordinary man of ordinary beginnings, born of a teenage mother and a carpenter. But somehow, against all odds, he became well known for his teaching. Maybe it was because as he reached adulthood, he decided that rather than seeking fortune, he should seek wisdom. Nobody really knows what he did during the years between his teens and that period of life we now call the end of his early adulthood. He was 33 years old at the time, which was pretty old 2,000 years ago. And some believe he'd spent 15 to 20 years traveling the world, learning from great teachers like Buddhist Rinpoches and Hindu yogis. Yeshua had been teaching for a while, and he was developing quite a following. His students, people called them his disciples, had been out on their own teaching others what he had taught them. And people were starting to flock in droves to hear his insights. Now, he wasn't a didactic teacher. He didn't lecture. He wasn't known as a great researcher, but he was a storyteller. He was so good at telling stories in the vernacular of his time and place that he could make clear any point with very, very few words. Yeshua was so in tune with what was going on in his little corner of the world that he could use the images and symbols of that time and place to tell the kinds of stories that would bring the world to life for the simple folk who heard him. People who, for the most part, never traveled further than they could walk in one day. His stories, though short, dripped with metaphor and meaning and conveyed the wisdom of ages. One spring, Yeshua and his students gathered after being apart for a while. He had been telling stories for days, and the crowd was growing bigger and bigger, and he was tired. And after a while, Yeshua said to his disciples, "Let's get away from here. Let's get in a boat and go across the water to that desert on the other side so we can rest away from this crowd." So in the morning, they all headed for the water, leaving as quietly as they could. But somehow word got out where they were going, so by the time they ever reached the other side, a crowd of people was already gathered. Now, this was almost 2,000 years before the Beatles, but it was kind of like when John, Paul, George, and Ringo appeared on the Ed Sullivan Show. Everyone was screaming and grabbing and yelling and dying to get near this guy who had become so popular practically overnight. So this was still kind of new for Yeshua, this phenomenon of being swarmed by fans. So he got caught up in the frenzy. He forgot about his intention to rest, and he just sat down to teach. After a few hours of talking in the hot sun, he was hungry, and he could tell by the restlessness in the crowd that they were hungry too. So one of his students, Andrew, said to him, "Yeshua, why don't you send people away so they can eat? They could go out into the villages and the nearby houses and buy food." So times were different then. People didn't walk around the streets eating, going from the pizza parlor to the ice cream shop. There were no popcorn or pizza vendors in the desert. Usually people brought food with them. And the most common foods that they brought with them were hard pieces of bread made of barley and dried fish, things that would travel well and not spoil or get crushed. So Yeshua had another idea. He didn't want to send people away. He turned to a different student, Philip, and said, "Let's feed everyone ourselves. Where can we get some bread?" Philip scoffed. "Even if we had enough money to buy food for everyone, there probably isn't enough bread to buy. It's late in the day, and there have to be 5,000 people here." That didn't matter, though, because Yeshua already knew what to do. He knew that a lot of people hadn't brought anything with them. In their rush to meet him on the shore where he and his students landed, they'd forgotten to bring anything. But he also knew that a lot of people had brought food with them, those pieces of bread and fish. So he turned to all of his students and he instructed them to go out into the crowds and gather all the food that people were willing to share. Now, these students were newbies. They were not good at asking for what they needed. In fact, a few weeks earlier, he had sent them out in pairs to go house to house and ask for what they needed. They were terrible at it. They came back with nothing. So after scouring the crowd, about an hour, they returned only with what one boy was willing to give them, 5 little barley loaves and 2 dried fishes. So Yeshua had the students sit everywhere in groups of 50 to 100 people, which they were willing to do. And as he sat down in front of them and started breaking the bread and the fish into little pieces, a silence went across the crowd as they watched him, curious. So when Yeshua was done and everyone was still seated, he started passing the baskets that he broke these pieces of bread and fish into. And the gathered were very, very slow at passing the baskets as they came to them. They'd be fishing around in their pockets and their bags, and they'd take a little bit and put some into the basket and keep it flowing. So as he watched this slowly happen, Yeshua was really curious because people were full. They were stuffed. They were done. And when it was all done, he could see there was still food left. So he told his disciples to pass baskets and collect everything that was left. And people thought that was the coolest thing. So they just started putting everything they had into these baskets. And wouldn't you know it, by the time they got back to Yeshua, all of those baskets were overflowing. So it wasn't that he somehow turned these 5 loaves of bread and these 2 little fish into so much more. It was that the people gathered had turned that little bit into more. The miracle wasn't in some being intercessing. The miracle was in the gathering and the sharing. And even when people felt like they didn't have enough, they still shared. And people yelled, "This is a prophet among us. He is meant to be our leader." But Yeshua just smiled, got in his boat, and went back to the other side.
Light of this room. voice defines the cries of my soul. Our Lord is truly moving to move. Even bigger this time. Ready, go. Last time, everybody, here we go. Love grows right now and a smile with you. Our hearts expand out of this room. Our eyes are widening, eyes and eyes. This voice defines the cries of my soul. My heart is truly beginning to bloom. 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 My heart is truly beginning to bloom.
Let us continue deepening that spirit of prayer that we just began with that beautiful song. Settling into yourself, into your seat, into your breath. Inviting your spirit to be fed by this gathering, by this love. I offer these words from the Reverend Denis Paul. Eternal Spirit, Earth, Gaia, Universe, Source of Suffering, Wellspring of Healing, Ancestors who live among us, shaping our world and our lives. Be with us this evening as we remember you. Be with us as we try our best to be the kind of people we set out to be. Inclusive, peaceful, supportive, mindful. We may not always be perfect at what we set out to do. We may fall short of our goals or forget the course that we have charted together. But as we gather, as we do here this week, we are reminded and brought back to our best selves. Because there is that much strength in our being together, in our union. Amen.
I would like to call forward the ministers who've gathered this week to serve the whole. You want to come up, please? My name is the Reverend Joe Cherry, and I serve the Unitarian Universalist Society of Cleveland in Cleveland Heights. And it's my great joy to introduce some beloved colleagues, some known for years, some newly met. This is Kristen Rome, Reverend Kristen Rome, and she is going to be a chaplain. And she serves our congregation in North Royalton, the Southwest U Church. This is my beloved, the Reverend Denise Paul.
Fiance, actually.
Okay, my fiance, the Reverend Denise Paul. who pushes me to do all sorts of things I'm not comfortable with, and is the minister at the East Shore UU Church in Kirtland. And he is going to be leading with me the Vespers in the evening. Right. Next, we have Mary Gugolia, who I met this year. Who I know is known far and wide. Who is the minister here in Oberlin, and bravely and happily is serving as the youth chaplain.
Thank you.
This guy here, this gentleman is Reverend George Buchanan. He is also the chaplain. And he is currently serving as the consulting RE minister for the Olmsted UU congregation. This is Reverend Lynn Kerr, and she is going to be doing all our morning worship. And she serves our congregation in Bowling Green, Ohio, the Maumee Valley congregation. And this is the Reverend Michelle Buhite, who is returning to the district after a couple years away. She is going to be working with the young adults as the worship coordinator to help them. And she's moving to the church in Amherst, New York. Like the choir sang to us just a moment ago, love grows right here and right now. We have come together in hopes that we can help this love and this community bloom as we serve you together throughout the week. So look at us again and know that if you need something, we have chaplains and we have other free-floating ministers around who can... they're not helping. Who can help? If you need help. So just keep us in mind, and we're looking forward to a great week together. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And so now I'd like to end by asking you all to please stand as you're willing and able for a hymn called We Gather Together.
Thank you. Hear these words of benediction. Here in this place of peace, may we find hope and maybe a bit of that SI magic that Scott was talking about. Here in this place of connection, may we find life-giving community. Here in this place of rest, let the unrest of our hearts turn ever towards justice. Here in this space made sacred by memories of connection, let us each feel ourselves part of the new that grows from our deep, deep tradition in the spiraling unity of all the years. May it be so. Scott, do you have more for us? And please be seated, everyone.
It's SI. It's SI. Of course, he's got more.
You were warned. Yeah. Hey, thanks, John. Okay, so this is actually an impromptu announcement. I just want to assure you that normally the sanctuary is going to be air conditioned. This is just a little hiccup, a little one of those things, but I don't want people avoiding worship the rest of the week because it was kind of hot tonight, so it'll be cool tomorrow. There are a couple of groups of people who have meetings directly after this, and so rather than have people scatter now, I want to, you know, tell you where you can go. For all people who are directing a seminar or workshop, seminars are the classes in the mornings for mostly adults, and workshops are the things in the afternoon for mostly everybody, although some for just some people. That meeting is going to be directly after I'm done talking in the fellowship hall down the hallway. So Jessica and Liz and Carol Dobbins will be there. Really important meeting to just kind of find out how to deal with the things that are going to come up through the week. Parents of youth, that is youth in the youth program this year, immediately after I'm done, we will have junior high bridging in here and then the mandatory parent and sponsor meeting. So those of you in that, and I'm one of you, we will be staying here and sweating just a little bit more. Next, I have an announcement about announcements. I promise that things won't be this meta for the rest of the week, but we have a number of channels. We're using what the internet is giving us to provide a lot of different ways for you to find out information about what's going on through the week. All kidding aside, the reason we do announcements at the end of worship is those are times that a big part of the community is mostly gathered together, and so people mostly can hear stuff, and it goes back to when that was the only way, or that and smoke signals were the only ways that we could let you know stuff. Now, of course, we've got other things. So we will continue to do announcements here at the podium. We also have the mobile website, omdsi.org/m, or if you have a smartphone and just surf on your browser for omdsi.org, it'll take you to the mobile site. Here's a thing you need to know about that. The announcements are not on the front page, they're in the news tab. So you should be checking regularly in addition to checking the schedule, which will tell you your daily schedule. Also check the news tab because that will tell you announcements. We also have our Facebook page. We have a Facebook page. That is OMD Summer Institute. There is also a Facebook group, Ohio Meadville Summer Institute. That is not us. That is a fine group It is run by dedicated SIers, but it is not the official word from the SIPC, which is, you know, something you can disregard through the year, but you kind of need to know it now. So you have to like that page. It is the OMD Summer Institute page you have to like. Third, we have our Twitter feed, which is at UUOMDSI. The good news is there's only one, and it updates automatically. The bad news is, for those of you who think you've just now mastered Facebook, you have to learn a new social networking platform. And finally, we have the Information Center, which we have moved. We had a lot of problems. We had a good place for the Information Center in that other college that we used to be at. And we have had a hard time finding one. We think we found it. It's in the alcove. So in Stevenson, there's the big rooms. And then there's the passageways between the big rooms. So the big room that's close to the bookstore, and then the central big room, that passageway between them, it's where the boo-boo station was, the nurse's boo-boo station was last year. That is our announcement center. It is a bulletin board that is just for us. It is a table that I've been promised. The chairs will go away, and it's not going to be for seating. It's for putting extra maps and stuff on from now on. That is our other thing. Okay, that's the big thing I want to tell you, how to get information through the year, or through the week, also through the year, but especially through the week. So find your favorite platform, pay attention to it, including this one. A few other things I want to let you know. Parking. There is a parking map. It is hard copy. That tells you where we're allowed to park. There is a map on the mobile website that tells you where parking is, but it doesn't tell you what is Oberlin-only parking and what is SI parking. You need the actual map. Yes, you have to do some walking, just like at Kenyon. No, you don't have to walk up a hellacious hill. So, reminder that the lost and found is in CSIC, that's the CSIC Conference Services Information Center. It is the central door getting into Stevenson. So it's the one you go through if you're not getting into one of the food lines. So if you lose something, mostly you can go there. If you lost a pair of reading glasses in registration, see me. If you dropped a small amount of currency in the hall on your way in here, see me, because I have those things now. I will not have them tomorrow. I'm going to turn them into CSIC. We have some changes on the schedule. There are seminars scheduled for tomorrow morning in Peters that we had to move because the Peters elevator broke down. Those are now in King, which is the building immediately south of Peters. So you go down to Peters, and then you go down one more, and that's King. Cultivating Resilience is in King 123. Again, the mobile website, Twitter, Facebook, if you don't get this tonight. But coming of age, Cultivating Resilience, King 123. Coming of Age, King 127. Walking Towards Trouble, King 335. So if you're in any of those seminars, your room has moved, and that's why, and that's where you go. I'm just making sure that I'm not missing anything. It's not like I haven't been talking long enough, but just to be sure. Oh, keeping the envelopes? Okay, this has been said on Facebook, but those envelopes that you got at registration with your key card or your meal card in them, please keep them through the week. It helps Oberlin a lot if those cards are turned in the envelope that matches them, because it tells them information about what the thing is that they just got. Any other suggestions from the floor? Okay. Once again, have a great SI.